AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias, detalles en Lowe's.com.
Let's go! LSU plays three quarters of really good football. We'll talk about what I loved, which was a lot, and a lot left to be desired, to say the least. And one player, Brian Kelly, must bench. Okay? It is beyond reasonable doubt. It's a post-game show brought to you by NOPOD, brought to you by our friends at nooffseason.com. And then, of course, the Zion Imaging 360 photo booth. Let's go!
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Come every on. Team gon' get the power. It's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get devoured, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the
field. All righty, so we have got a lot to get to. Let's start with the quarterback, Gary Nussmeier, was phenomenal. But you notice overall this team's performance completely fell off when Caden Durham got hurt. So, you know, I don't like to put too much on the plate of a true freshman running back, but when you go for 7 carries, 128, and a tutty, and obviously three catches for 89 yards and a tutty, averaging 30 yards per catch and what, 18 yards per rush? His health is going to be pretty big for LSU moving forward, okay? So, I felt LSU was going to come out and dominate the second half. Third quarter was abysmal, and LSU needs to seriously think about moving on for Major Burns as the nickel corner or the star or just in general, right? He is really having a tough time this year. And it wasn't just that one play where he got burned that was a major, major, major issue. So, look, before we get into the stats and what we normally do, I'm looking at you right now in the eye, okay? None of what I say is personal. None, okay? None. But it is time for Brian Kelly to make a very difficult decision for the betterment of the team. Now, I do see in the background, I love to see this, Whit Weeks getting a post-game interview, because I was going to say myself that he was my game MVP outside of Caden Durham, who's the best player on this team right now, and Garrett Nussmeier. Okay, obviously, Garrett Nussmeier is the MVP because he is a quarterback, but honestly, take those two out of the equation. You can see the live poll for yourself if you're listening to this down the road. Let me know who you think your game MVP was, okay? So, the bottom line is this, all right? LSU was the better team. They deserved the result. But that third quarter left a lot to be desired. The Garrett Nussmeier interception, obviously had an interception at the end of the first half. You have noticed Garrett Nussmeier, he does have a tendency to get tight at the end of halves, right? into the first half versus Wisconsin. You know, this game versus South Carolina, he had a pick six at the end of the game and should have had another interception on the go-ahead touchdown from Josh Williams to Kamarion Pimpton over the middle. And then at the end of the first half, another interception here versus South Alabama. But Garrett Nussmeyer, career high in passing yardage. I do feel that's a little misleading, though, because a lot of those yardage came to dump-offs underneath. There was also some drop issues today, and Kyren with the second consecutive game with a drop, but I felt overall he played well. It was another really good CJ Daniels game, and honestly, the best receiver on the field tonight for LSU was Aaron Anderson, who yet again was sensational. It looks like he's got more juice now. It looks like he is fully healthy for all the lower body injuries that he's had to deal with throughout his career, and at the same time, he is making a lot of guys miss with the football in his hands. And that, to me, is the most valuable skill set you can give at the wide receiver position, of course, of outside of getting open and actually catching the football. So, here we go. Now, I understand that there are other games going on right now. I'm going to give you the most focused LSU postgame show you possibly can give. And then we can potentially do a watch along, because I know this game was definitely one of the more boring games of the Brian Kelly era. Okay. So let's also talk about Brian Kelly. How did he coach tonight? This was a really good effort. And I understand we are only one play, and I mean one game into the post Harold Perkins era at linebacker. I am very concerned about the depth of the position now that Harold Perkins is not out there. I understand that there is going to be a lot out of Whit Weeks and Greg Penn, who both looked really, really good tonight. But they're going to need Debo Atkins to play a lot for the rest of the season. I think he is their third best option at linebacker at this point. I think he did some good things in this game today. But until LSU gets a third linebacker that they feel unbelievably comfortable with, you are going to be concerned about the depth at the Harold Perkins. I will say the defense overall looked more organized. Okay? So, there you go. Now, next thing. Let's have a conversation about the LSU offensive line. Obviously, there was another Will Campbell penalty. I don't think it was really much of anything. You know, he was just being physical, and it happened a little after the whistle. I don't like to judge offensive linemen just based off of one watching. And obviously, it's a watching while the game is going on, and I'm already starting to cut the film study while the game is happening. But the only guy I felt had a tough night there was DJ Chester. Other than that, though, I felt the other offensive linemen played well. Okay, and then, of course, you had another great Mason Taylor performance, and a lot of what makes Mason Taylor great is how comfortable all the other players feel around him, okay? So I love seeing that from Mason Taylor because everyone just plays better when he's out there on the field. It was good to see Kamarion Pimpton actually get a touch at the end of the game. Now, I understand that this is a little bit of a deeper philosophical discussion as far as LSU is concerned, but I still have the LSU game on in the background, and I see that they have highlights from the Ole Miss game from earlier today. Ole Miss looking very brutal versus Kentucky is concerning. What I would say, though, is Kentucky has a better front seven than us. Do I feel more comfortable in this front seven because we have 2 weeks to prepare? Yeah, sure, I do. But understand that, you know, I watched A&M and Arkansas film study already cut for the SEC channel. If you want to watch that, I highly recommend that because we obviously play those two schools in the next month. All three of these teams have true dual threat quarterbacks, okay? Dart isn't as fast or electric as Reed or Green, if Reed is still the guy by then, and if Green is still the guy by then. But Jackson Dart, we know, can run. We're going to have to be ready for Ole Miss, right? I kind of wish they would have found a way to win this game. But coming off a loss, Lane is going to come in pretty hot here in a few weeks. Okay, so there you go. Wait, so Georgia scored? Did Georgia really score? Oh, my God. I'm not going to lie. I went pretty heavy on Georgia, minus one. Okay, and by heavy, I mean $40. I can't believe it. I cannot freaking believe it that that's happening. So let me know. I've given you 10 minutes of really good post-game analysis, or at least I think it's really good post-game analysis. We had some microphone issues at halftime. I have no idea why. I tested it right after the fact, and it was perfect. So type Y for yes. Type N for no. Okay? Type Y for yes. Type N for no if you can hear me loud and clear. And do you want me to switch to the Georgia game? Okay? I will happily do that. All right, if you want me to just do a watch-along of this game, I feel like I'm going to give myself bad luck. Because, actually, no, I'm in a Georgia minus one. Dude, if I lose because of Georgia minus one, you've got to be kidding me. If I push, I would rather just lose the $6 in juice because I also got Georgia minus one as a 1-point favorite with minus 125. So I had extra juice on the one. Okay, I should have just taken the money line bet. Look, my head says, don't watch. Oh, God. So, hey, his whole family are Bama fans. Watch me turn this on and watch him hit a bomb. I knew it. I freaking knew it. I freaking knew it. Right when I knew it, I knew it. I freaking knew it. Right when I turned it on. The first play. First play, you guys told me to turn it back on. I hate each and every one of you. I hope all of you, fall inside of an erupting volcano full of electricity. The first play. First freaking play. Oh, my God. Dude. Holy crap. Wide open. That makes no sense to me. Dude. Okay, so what happened here? He didn't even need to jump for it either. Gotta turn your head. Oh, he did. He was fixing his mouthpiece before he got into the end zone. I should have listened to Hey. I should have listened to Hey. I never listened to her. Okay. So you have Georgia money line. All right. Bayou Bingo, I did not. Okay. Apparently, I missed it. All right. Sometimes it doesn't flash on the screen. And halftime streams are actually my busiest stream. So whatever it was, I will go straight to whichever question you want, Bayou Bengal. Okay. It's just shameful. Shameful. I blame every single one of you.
Yeah, turn the Bama game on.
Y'all asked me to do a watch along. All my post game viewers are going to be so mad.
You know, yeah, I just want to hear you talk about the LSU game.
Now they're dropping wide open stuff. I mean, dude, it's insane how cold I've ran. I thought for once I would get a back door. I thought for once I'll sneak. God bless. I blame all of you. All right. So what do you do here if you're Georgia? Okay. They're just doing four-man rushes. Take those yards, yeah. Hurry. Get it. You want to get a play before the two-minute? We're not going to get it. All right, let's get back to your questions. No, I guess I didn't get it. How did you send it? Did you send it Venmo, Cash App, or just normal Super Chat? By the way, for all our patrons, I have already cut the post-game film study for our patrons. Okay? I've already cut it. Dude, I swear to God, I have found the most insufferable fan base known to mankind. Okay. I got to be real. I got to be real. God. Your money is it's a super chat? Honestly, by Bengal, if you don't want to see it anymore, I'll just go look after. It's kind of tough to actually see. That's what I hate about it. Check my email for they'll send you an email if you actually was able to send it. Okay. So for those that are just tuning in, the chat has demanded that we just talk about the Georgia-Alabama game as it's happening. I prefer to just do my normal show. Okay. I just do. Because I'll be up late regardless. But everybody's watching this game. So it is what it is at this point. Oh, man, everybody's getting on lane for the TikTok dances. Okay, so let's see. Yeah. Ah, that's good. That's good. Blitz pickup. Oh, you got bailed out. That should be OPI. Virginia Tech game last night. I don't know. What is this? I don't know. Miami fans think I have it out for them. Because I pointed out one risky holding call, one that was like kind of on the fence of an actual hold. And they got mad at me. All right, because they're like, well, the dumbest thing in the world is whenever you post a clip of a bad call or you just post a clip of one play breakdown, they're like, well, what about all the other ones? What about – I'm just breaking down that play. It's not like anything else is – oh, you got to make that catch, bro. If you're a single digit, dude, you got to make that catch. Fourth and two, you got to go for it. Come on, single digit. All right, single high. You could take a go ball shot if you want it. If you want to get frisky. But I don't know if they want to get frisky. They're giving it to you. To Bell down the right sideline. Got him. Went right back to him. No, that's a transfer. Do we have fake injuries here? No, he actually looks hurt. Who do we have covering Ryan Williams? The blood of Christ. We're all covered in the blood of Christ, if you choose to repent for your sins and take Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's who we have covering Ryan Williams. That is who we have covering Trey Harris. That is who we have covering Jeremiah Smith if we see him in the playoff. But any metaphysical belief that you, anytime I say something about faith or whatever, I want everyone to know that all faiths are welcome here. Okay? Run. I wouldn't fall down. I burn a time out of here. Yeah. Oh! Okay, I was about to say, you should want to burn it now. I like how every single one of you demanded me stop giving LSU analysis on an LSU channel to talk about a game that Alabama is likely going to win. Huh? Oh, man. I thought we're supposed to hate Bama on here. I really don't care. I mean, both these teams are going to the playoffs, too. But if it was the old team, four-team format, this would be an elimination game, basically. Okay. All right. I was underthrown. Oh, flag. No penalty? Oh, he had him. The one thing I never understand is if you're a receiver here, sell the penalty. Sell that you got pulled down. That has such a huge effect. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I don't normally like to bail out the underthrow, but that's part of the equity in throwing it. Part of the equity of underthrowing the ball there. Okay. There comes a blitz. It's zero. It's zero. Are they offsides? Got him. There might have been false start, too. If it was false start, they would have blown it dead. I thought it was false start. It looks like, if you look really closely, it looks like the receiver did jump a little there. But this is honestly really good quarterbacking. So Carson Beck had a safety earlier in this game on a zero blitz. So when you're facing the zero blitz like this, you want to roll a little bit to the right. Okay, yeah, no, it was false start. Wow. Okay. I wouldn't have thrown that. I would not have thrown that. Oh, God. Oh, you bailed him out. You bailed him out. Georgia didn't deserve to win this game. They didn't. It's a bad throw, man. Bate didn't have it in him. Bate did not have it in him. That's not your go-to guy, man. It's a lack of skill guys at Georgia. I mean, it's just such a bad underthrow, man. His head's already turned. And if you're eight, you've got to prevent that, man. God. Oh, you got to give me a better effort than that, eight. You got to, with the game on the line, turn your single digit in. I would have preferred Alabama just blow them out. Then idiot, pull him down. All right, I need at least a $40 super chat for y'all having to basically make me that needle me. That's the gambling term. You needled the hell out of me.
The LSU locker room was also watching Georgia, Alabama. So
they were doing exactly what we were all doing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a clear underthrow, you need to pull him down. It was two underthrows in a row with a missed pass interference call mixed in there. Two legendary college football games, though. Obviously, Virginia Tech, Miami. Crazy. Okay. Now, I'm still kind of puzzled. I kind of don't want to watch these Auburn-Oklahoma highlights, but here we go. Coming up next, how do you go about benching a senior for a true freshman who might struggle? That's coming up after this. Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Yeah, so we touched on it a little bit earlier. You know, a lot of people are starting to trickle in, especially on Twitter, after watching the end of the game. Okay. I do think it's to the point where LSU has to find another option other than Major Burns. Now, I understand that the cupboard is bare. I totally get that, okay? But there is the power of threatening to start somebody else that makes that player better. Okay, we've seen this happen so many times when a player gets threatened to have their role taken and someone else steps in and that player get better. Okay, you notice Major Burns, even though he has been very inconsistent in the back seven of the LSU defense, he's never really been benched. Like, has he been taken out? Yes. Has he been rotated in? Yes. Has he ever really just been taken out of the rotation? No. Okay. Now, I understand there are instances like the Florida State season opener where you're going up against Keon Coleman and you're probably not going to make that play. You're probably not. But let's be honest, there have been a lot of plays, including on the same type of route, a slot fade, where he's getting cooked. So type Y for yes, type N for no, if you would bench Major Burns and take him out of the rotation entirely. Type Y for yes, type N for no. Now, this has been a question. What does Ole Miss have coming up? Okay, because you do get a bye week. And then Ole Miss comes to Tiger Stadium. Ole Miss, after this loss, will play South Carolina. Okay? We'll pull up the schedule matrix. And we'll let everybody see it for themselves. This is why I keep coming back to LSU getting a great draw. All right. Bye week, then Ole Miss. Now, this is what you have to do if you're LSU. You know the rest of the way, you can only lose one game for you to get into the playoff. That's it. Why? Well, after tonight, Georgia and Alabama are both getting in. They draw the hugest number outside of Ohio State. Alabama does draw the biggest number out of everyone. We know Georgia's getting in. We know Alabama's getting in. And if it's iffy, LSU could have gotten a huge break if Mississippi State could have broke through versus Texas, but that was never going to happen. Texas is getting in. All right. So you now have to come down to the fourth and fifth SEC team. Is LSU better than Tennessee at this point? No. Who has a tougher schedule left? I would say LSU overall has the toughest schedule. But of the teams remaining, Tennessee has two more, I guess you could say, bona fide losses on their schedules, with Alabama coming to Tennessee and then at Georgia later in the season. So, you know, at this point, LSU, I don't see a path forward for them with three losses. I just don't. So if you're an LSU fan, the only thing that you can hope for at this point is one loss the rest of the way. And I understand that that is not necessarily how you want to view college football, right? You don't want to look at college football as, hey, I want to avoid losses just for me to get in. Well, that's kind of where you are. And that's kind of how it always has been. Whereas in other sports, it's about a little bit more about who you beat. If that makes sense. College basketball, when it's time for March Madness, everyone talks about, oh, who did you beat? Who did you beat in the non-conference? What's your RPI? Who did you play against at the absolute highest levels of the sport? College football is kind of the opposite. You want to avoid losses. So at this point, if you are an LSU fan, if you want to take a look at a big picture, if you will, okay? Of course, we can look back and sulk on the USC loss. But the past is a past. Has USC looked as good as they did versus us in that victory? Not really. All right? Not really. And I know that's going to get what it could have, should have. If Garrett hits Aaron on that pass, or what if we were playing Caden Durham? What if? There's a thousand different what ifs you can, but we lost that game. Okay? They made more plays than we did in a 50-50 game. That's what you have to do to win those games. You got to make the plays, right? Ryan Williams made a play for Alabama, and Georgia underthrew two fades, and the receiver didn't do anything about it. Should have sold a pass interference, and also should have made a better play on the underthrown ball right there, okay? Let's go to Logan, who says, man, I really don't feel like Alabama isn't beatable. I know we aren't completely worked out, but Georgia had no business being in that game. Everything they did was just so ugly tonight. And guess what? You are correct. I'm not saying that Alabama is insurmountable. Do you really think the home crowd didn't play a huge role in this? You get this game at home after a bye if you are LSU. Okay. I will also say this. I've gotten a lot right this year. I've also gotten a lot wrong this year. One of my strongest takes going into the season was Georgia skill guys not really being that good. And that kind of bore out in this game, right? Dylan Bell's a decent, like, number two, number three guy. But their number one situation is not good. Georgia's. Okay? Is Carson Beck playing better than Garrett Nussmeier right now? I would say probably not. And does LSU have better receivers than Alabama's? Yeah. Does LSU have better receivers than Georgia's right now? I would say slightly. Alabama's receivers are really good, though, now that they have this true freshman sensation. Okay. RJ Madison, come on. Don't let me block you tonight. I don't want to block anybody tonight. That comment is blockable. Okay. I'm all for people's opinions. But you might deserve cancellation after that. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, so what weeks gets a post-game interview? Greg Penn, 14 tackles tonight. Two quarterback hurries, seven solo tackles. Great performance. Jarden Gilbert, I thought, had another interesting night. I also thought JVR Suggs would play more. It might just be my hallucinations. He might have played a lot more. I don't know. Joshua, I hope you had fun. So there you go. Now, I'm going to get to cutting the film study. I've said pretty much everything I wanted to say about what was a tough night. Now, here's what we're going to do. Don't forget the PHL Patreon. I have already released my bonus film study from tonight's game. It is a Caden Durham film study. I guarantee you no one else will have this Caden Durham film study because guess what? It's a Caden Durham film study where I didn't show any runs from Caden Durham. I guarantee you it's going to blow your mind. It's that good. Okay. Now, like we always do, I normally like to stay live until Brian Kelly gets to the podium. And a lot of you have sent me this after I said what I said before the game about Chris Hilton. I didn't say anything out of the ordinary. I just said it's weird that he's not dressed out again, okay? It's one thing to not play, but he's not even dressing out. Okay, you can dress him out and him not play at all, especially when 2 weeks ago you said, Chris is probable. We're leaning towards playing him. And then yet again, it's two games in a row where he doesn't play. Okay? I'm not saying I am disagreeing with Brian Kelly's decision to not play him. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just pointing out that it's weird. Okay? it was a later injury before the USC game. Okay. There is not a single person that would have said that that injury would go all the way until the first bye week. I was just pointing out that it was strange. I don't think anyone else would disagree that it's strange. Let's take in a few other post-game press conference quotes. Let me see. I might have the actual audio I could pull up here. I might not play it. Yeah, not and I don't mind. I don't mind him not playing at all. Just I don't mind any decision for anybody's help. It's just interesting, right? To say the least. Stacy says, I think Will Campbell's been listening to the critics. Have I been critical of Will? I don't think I've necessarily been critical of Will. I think everybody's been critical of the penalties, but I don't think that that's anything like out of the ordinary at all. I think most people would agree that you shouldn't commit false start penalties. Oh, I'm for wrong opinions, Grant. Trust me, I have gotten plenty wrong this year. I did not think Milroe would be special this year. I thought he would be very good. Brian Kelly says he is not worried about Garrett Nussmeier's INTs moving forward. All right. Let me take it a few other things. I thought LSU special teams was really good tonight. Xavion almost broke one. Felt like we were mostly clean, hit all extra points. Punts were good, pin one in this game. So, once again, LSU special teams has been decent. You know, we've come a long way. Well, Donald, he's already done that. And that's a kind of concerning thing, right? Does he attempt those passes that lead to interceptions against SEC opponents? Yeah, I mean, we saw literally some of the worst INTs you'll see in an SEC game versus South Carolina. He just also happened to put some of the more elite throws you'll see an SEC quarterback make in that game as well. I mean, bread basket throws in very tight spaces under heavy pressure. Okay? So, you know, like I said, you take the good and the bad. Now, I want to get to the Ricky Collins reps. Obviously, you know, you're just not going to learn a whole lot about, like, these garbage time kind of reps. But it is interesting, once again, that he is getting the QB2 repetitions at this point. And what does his future hold? I don't know. But it was good for him to play. I also saw Javon Nichols. That's a guy I cheer for quite a bit. I always cheer for the walk-ons. Javon Nichols caught himself a pass today as well. Caught himself not one, but two passes. One other thing on the Chris Hilton thing is LSU might feel their wide receiver room is a little thin, and they don't want him to get hurt worse, right? You never really want a wide receiver room to not be at least five deep. And what we know at this point is LSU has a wide receiver room that is four deep. Aaron Anderson, Kyren Lacy, CJ Daniels, Xavion Thomas. And ironically, their jersey numbers are 0, 1, 2. Chris Hilton would be 3. CJ Daniels would be 4. Okay. So you don't want to not have all five of those guys healthy. Now, it'd be nice if Shelton Sampson was that sixth guy or Kyle Parker the next guy or whatever. But at this point, have they shown enough that you would like to think that they are going to be productive in SEC play? Probably not. Probably not. Okay. So it could just be more precautionary because is Xavion Thomas really a wide receiver? Not really. He's also your kick returner. He's also your punt returner. He's also, in many ways, a de facto running back who also just happens to be really good at running routes and getting open and making plays after the catch. Okay? So, LSU moving forward, they probably view Xavion Thomas as a guy who does probably not the same type of your traditional wide receiver as the other three, and they really want to be cautious with Chris Hilton as well, which is why Brian Kelly said if he was 100%, we would have played him. I also think they would be a little bit more gung-ho about playing him if he didn't have injury history, okay? You got to remember, LSU has so much of these deep medical track records of all these players, and they'll know just based on your workload how high of an injury risk you might be based on everything that you've done up to this point. I'll say this. I will never comment on anyone else's media rant unless I actually saw it. I didn't see this, but, you know, at the time when Alabama hired Kalen DeBoer, I said that's a hire I would have gotten. The only doubt in the whole thing was him losing Ryan Grubb, and it's not been an issue at all. Now, Ryan Grubb has arguably been the best first-year coordinator in the NFL. He's really good. But Kalen DeBoer is a real deal. I mean, honestly, I understand Nick Saban just left. And you don't want to hear Bama waxing, if you will, right now. However, y'all, Kalen DeBoer is one of the best college football coaches I have ever seen. It's just that plain and simple. He's just that good. I mean, the win-loss track record is ridiculous. I mean, the previous coach at Washington ran that program into the ground. He had them in the national championship game. Washington. And I understand Chris Peterson won there. In Seattle, there's good players, all that good stuff. But it was Washington in the national championship game. Washington beat Texas in a playoff game. Texas. Kalen DeBoer is the real deal. Okay. Now he's got better athletes, better recruiting. And he also has some talented assistants, right? In particular, watching them, I've really, really, really been impressed with their wide receiver blocking.
Okay.
Kalen DeBoer is 30-3 as a Power 5 conference coach. 30-3, and he is 6-0 against Kirby Smart, Dan Lanning, and Steve Sarkisian. Okay. Now, once again, he's 1-0 against Kirby. But still, I mean, they put the beat down on him in one half of football, beat down. That's crazy. That's crazy. Now, once again, Kalen DeBoer could still be great and take Alabama on a magical run like Nick Saban did. That does not mean Brian Kelly can't win a national championship or not win multiple, or that also doesn't mean that LSU can't get to that level, right? This last recruiting class looks to be really good. This next recruiting class looks to be the best in LSU history. Okay. There are really good quarterbacks down the pipeline for LSU. So, look, the future looks really bright for LSU. I mean, I would be honest with you guys. You could be Florida State. You could be Florida. I mean, there is a bunch of powers that have completely fallen off. And knock on wood here, that's really not happened at LSU. Yeah, you had some down Orgeron years, and we're on a bad run of defenses, and the last tenure got rancid at times. But rancid years were 8-win seasons. Florida State got housed today by SMU. Okay. Now, I'm not going to play the Brian Kelly audio. I know I normally do. But I think we mostly touched on everything that we wanted to touch on. Okay. Carl Anthony Towns traded to the Knicks? What? Really? I want to listen to this really quickly. I had a few of you send me this, and I don't want to listen on my mind. Okay. All right. I'm going to keep this opinion to myself. I will share this in the Discord though. Okay. Because one of you DM'd me this in the Discord. Okay. And I won't say who, but this is why you sign up for the Patreon. Okay. I don't touch on everything publicly here. This would be kind of a cheap shot though, for someone that probably doesn't deserve it. But, you know, I'll just say this. As someone that's trying my hardest, and maybe it's because I'm not pretty or whatever. As someone who's trying my hardest to make it on the national media scene, I will watch plenty of broadcasts and say I can objectively do a better job. Okay. I posted in the Discord though. All right. So someone messaged me in the Discord. I just posted it publicly in the Discord. It's not worthy of a public conversation. But I was noticing this during watching a game tonight. And I'm like, God, really, is this the best that we can do? And honestly, like, judging on a few, like, kind of media moves that have been made nationally and locally, not necessarily in Baton Rouge, but just things that I see, sometimes I don't think this stuff comes down to talent, right? I'm not even saying I'm the most talented person out there. I wouldn't have made this mistake that this reporter made. It's not really a big deal, but it's something you want to get right. Okay, it pisses me off. All right. Now, so, yeah, you're much better. I'm not much better than the Talking Heads. I will say I wish I got Talking Heads money. Okay. But once again, I won't touch on it here publicly. It's not anything like just crazy, but it's just one of those things where he's just like, Let's see. Type Y for yes, type N for no. 7 p.m. on Sunday nights is when you want the LSU film study. Let me know if that is the best time for you. Type Y for yes, type N for no. Okay. You prefer the Sunday night at 7 p.m. film study. This one might not be that long tomorrow, because you also don't want to get too carried away from a non-Power 5 game. God, dude, Florida State looks terrible. Let's see. Do I plan on doing an Ole Miss film study on Power Hour SEC? Probably for the South Carolina game. I probably won't do one for Ole Miss. And honestly, Logan, it just comes down to this. Every time I've done Ole Miss videos, it just doesn't put up numbers. Okay, that's a hard thing about the SEC channel. I will do the videos of the teams that give me numbers. Okay, so when I'm done here, the LSU film study can wait because most people like it Sunday nights at 7. So I'll cut that. I have 1,000 NFL ones that I cut during games. And then I'll probably do a Georgia-Alabama one. I still got to do an Oklahoma one. They've shown me a lot of love. But Ole Miss just doesn't have the fans. Like the other schools, they don't care the same. Now, it could just be Ole Miss fans haven't found my videos, or they don't find it interesting. It's not really a shot. It's just what the analytics have shown, right? I've had plenty of Alabama videos not do well. And, you know, they have the highest ratings in the sport, and they have for the longest. Or they've been in the top five for the longest. That's a hard thing. If an LSU video doesn't get a whole lot of views, that's okay. I like doing it. It's my team and it's my channel. When you do an SEC channel, I can pick any SEC team. Pick any SEC team. All right, to Mythic Rain. It's because they're a team of failure. Nothing meaningful ever happens. then why does Arkansas film studies crush? I never say that I've played high school football in Arkansas. I never say it. Never. Now, I do live shows now for Arkansas. I talk a little bit about that. But I would say 75, 80, actually, I would probably say 90% of my audience has no idea that I went to high school in Arkansas. I mean, I have a Joe Burrow painting in my backdrop. Same thing with Tennessee. You know, Tennessee hadn't won anything in a while. They murder my algorithm. I mean, they flat out show out. I had a Tennessee fan send me a message today saying, "Guy, I would love your film today, but we're on a bye week." Or was Tennessee on a bye week? Yeah, they're on a bye week. Yeah, they're on a bye week. I was like, "Did I miss their game?" Yeah, they're on a bye week. The other, the not the real Orange UT play today. But also, Logan, if Ole Miss fans started blowing my stuff up, I would do a video of them weekly. Oh, the obstructed view guy was here. Okay. The obstructed view guy. Let's go. I love this guy. Good. He gets sponsored now by TickPick. I like that. He needed a partnership. This guy's good for college football, man. I'm going to give him a follow. I've seen him a few times. Look at this, man. Oh, it's good when... I'll tell you this, the crowd was amazing tonight. I mean, they were packed, okay? See what happens when you don't have to have LSU fans cooking in the sun? Look at this shot he took. Or this might have been someone else at the game. I don't know. That's some real journalism right here. Oh, he pulled off the double today. USF, New Orleans, and then that's good stuff. Let's go. That's awesome. No, it was not obvious dominance. LSU beer. It was not. So what, it's a... So the score at halftime was what? It was 24-3, correct? I'll confirm it here. No, it was a lot more than that. It was 35-3. Okay. So they end up scoring a touchdown to make it 35-10. Do you really want to pull your starters at 35-3 versus a South Alabama team that recently put 87 points on the scoreboard and went into Appalachian, the Appalachian State, and blew the brakes off of them and scored really quickly? Okay, so this is what I would say about the starter debacle. All right, when Major Burns got burned, it made it a 35-10 game, right? Which is a 25-point game. That's still a 4-possession game. You're probably still not ever getting caught in that scenario. But you saw how quickly Alabama and Georgia changed, right? And once again, those are really good football players over there at Georgia. Still, the point remains the same, right? It is a question that I think a lot of us would have trouble asking at this point. Are the backups at LSU, let's just say you pulled every single starter, would the backups at LSU beat Appalachian State? Now, this is a conversation I would hear out LSU beer. Can we pull out some key players? All right. So maybe pull out Caden Durham. Well, he got hurt when the game was still kind of in the balance. You really want to pull him out by then? It's a little too early, right? It was kind of a freak thing. I don't think it was a problem of volume, right? He touched the ball, what, 12 times tonight? Something like that. Now, LSU Beer says, the two tackles, most importantly. All right, so pull Will Campbell out, pull Emory Jones out. All right, so first question would be, who are you getting in there to replace them? Okay, well, one would probably be Weston Davis, a true freshman, and another would probably be Tyree Adams. Okay, so I could pull up the final plays of the game. I think those would have been the two guys. I was kind of getting ready for the post-game show. I didn't really watch the offensive line reps. I did see the rookie college reps. But would I have pulled those two just for the sake of pulling those two in preparation of saving them? I don't know. Let me see here. I think that's a little rich. Because what happens, LSU Beer, is, and it's honestly a good question. It's one that I get a lot. All right. I tend to lean your direction. I think by the early fourth quarter, you could have pulled them. Okay. But let's say you pull your two offensive tackles. Okay. So now you're not only pulling them out, you're also pulling Garrett Nussmeier out. Okay. Because you as a coach would have to answer, hey, you pulled your two first-round offensive tackles. Garrett Nussmeier got blindsided, and he's hurt now. Why would you do one and not the other? And there could be perfectly sound reasoning and logic behind it. Garrett Nussmeier is good at not taking sacks, which he is good at not taking sacks. Garrett Nussmeier plays quickly. Our run game could take over. I just don't think you could just do that with the offensive tackles. So what about wide receiver? Are there any backup wide receivers? I mean, deeper cut backup wide receivers. So Kyle Parker on down, that have done anything for you this season that's impressive? Not really. Kyle Parker had one touchdown catch versus UCLA. That was incredible, and you give him credit for it. But that ball was perfectly thrown. It caught him more than he caught it. And sometimes throws are just that good. Okay. Now, once again, he's going to have to go out there and catch it. So you pull your receivers out. Who's going to make a play? So if you pull all your starters out mid-quarter, mid-third quarter, and then you put the backup offense in there, they're likely going to get stopped on the first drive. They had just marched down the field and scored against your starters. So now do you want to just play backups on offense and keep your starters on defense? Yeah, I think fourth quarter, maybe a drive earlier, you can do that. But it's tricky. It's very, very, very tricky. And what you don't want to do is giving the other team the feeling that they can legitimately go out there and win the game. That is the last thing you ever want to do as a team. Give them that confidence. So there you go. Now we'll take a few more here. If not, I'm going to go back into film study mode. So Wisconsin got blown out today. Did anybody watch that game?
Well, that'll do it for me.
Probably the weirdest post-game live show. But when a game is that epic, you just kind of tune into watching that game. Big shout-out to Whit Weeks and Greg Penn. I'm going to give him my MVPs. Linebacker was really good. Okay. It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. So, game grades are about to get posted on the Patreon. Once again, if you sign up for Patreon, I got your first month covered. So you get, guess what? You get it for free. Just go sign up. And you get a Joe Burrow card in the mail. So you're really getting it for free. And tonight, Oh, we're doing taco soup. I've already said that. So I kind of want to go get like an ice cream because I'm going to be up so late. Let's go. Let's go.